that perception is such a powerful thing. Because our perception, it shapes the way that we see ourselves. And it shapes the way that we see others. And by our perceptions, it often determines how you and I live and behave. Scott McKnight, who is a New Testament scholar and who is a seminary professor, has written multiple books about the New Testament and about Jesus. And he teaches in seminary, and in his course, Jesus of Nazareth, he gives a test to all of his students on the first day. I know, boo, what a terrible professor. Who gives a test on the first day? But anyway, he gives a simple test on the first day of his class. And this test is very simple. It's divided into two parts. The first part is he asks this question, what do you think the personality of Jesus is like? What does Jesus look like? Who is this Jesus? How would you describe this Jesus to people? And then the second question he asks is, what is your personality? How would you describe yourself to people? And he says, more often or not, the results always come back. And the reason why the results always comes back the same is that the way that people describe Jesus is actually the way that they describe themselves. If you're an extrovert, you will most likely believe and tell people that Jesus was probably an extrovert. If you are an introvert, you will most likely describe that Jesus was an introvert. It's interesting, isn't it? And we begin to see that some of us may say, well, that's because we're becoming to be like Jesus. Actually, that's not true. It's more that Jesus is becoming more like us. And what we mean by that is that we perceive Jesus to be like us. And the reason why we perceive Jesus to be like us is because we look at Jesus through our own interpretation. And when we do that, there's one thing that we know, is that our own interpretation and perception quite often can be very limited and skewed. And in fact, if you look at people in this world, we all have a very filtered understanding of who this real Jesus is. And when we have a distorted, filtered interpretation of Jesus, we do not have a full and better picture of who Jesus is. And so our sermon series, Jesus Unfiltered, it is designed for us to get a better understanding of who Jesus is through the encounters of people that have encountered Jesus. And through these multiple encounters, we get a whole picture, and we get a better picture of who Jesus is. This week, I'd like for us to focus on Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus. And this text is so familiar to us, I'm not going to even read it because we know the story very well. If you went to Sunday school, you would know that Zacchaeus was a wee little man who climbed up the tree. So we're not going to go through reading the text, but I just simply want to paint the picture of this story. We know this story very well because Zacchaeus is someone that we're very familiar with. The story of Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus takes place in the city of Jericho. Now, if you didn't know anything about Jericho, you would know this. Jericho was a city. It was an oasis in the desert. And if a city if there was an oasis in the desert, it would mean that it was a stop that everyone. And so Jericho was a very prosperous city. It was a city in which merchants passed through. And so you can say that the city of Jericho had many. And Zacchaeus was probably one of the most wealthiest persons in the city of Jericho. And Jericho was also a city where merchants passed by. Now, this text that we're about to look at Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, it takes place right after Jesus has healed the two blind men on the roadside of Jericho. And that was the last time I preached. We talked about Jesus healing the two blind men. Now, here it is. You could probably imagine the scene with me. Jesus has healed these two blind men. And now Jesus is about to go into town. And as he's going to town, guess what? When Jesus already was on the roadside, he already had an entourage. Now, after Jesus has healed these two blind men, I guarantee you this, probably a larger crowd was following Jesus. Can you imagine the commotion and the noise that was happening when Jesus was going through town? Loud noise and people were shouting, and guess what? Human beings are very curious people. And well, I suspect that Zacchaeus was also very curious about all this noise and all this commotion that was going on. Now, some of you may think, well, you know, Zacchaeus is just being nosy. Well, let me tell you this. I believe most of us are nosy too. You know why? You know why? If you say no, you're a liar. Right? That's what everybody does. Right? You slow down and look because you're just a little nosy. You want to know. And guess what? I bet you, if you were in Zacchaeus' shoes, you will want to know what is all this noise happening. And so Zacchaeus is wondering, what's everybody doing? And then I'm sure he pulls up somebody and says, what's happening? And they say, did you know Jesus of Nazareth? He just healed a blind man. He healed two blind men. And he's coming through. This curiosity that's happening. Such curiosity that's happening. He probably wanted to know who this Jesus is that everybody's talking about. And so here he is. We begin to see the story. Zacchaeus probably goes to the crowd and he's trying to look. But there's a problem. Did you know what the problem was? The Bible says Zacchaeus was a short man. Do you know that the average height of Jewish people in the New Testament around Jesus' time was 6'7" About 5 feet. 5 foot 3. Yep. About 5 foot 3. Right? 5 foot 3, and Zacchaeus was a short man. Some imagination. He's probably a lot less than 5 foot. Imagine Zacchaeus among the sea of 5 foot 3 people. They must seem like giants to him, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. I can picture the picture right now. He's probably going up and down trying to get a glimpse of Jesus to see who this Jesus looks like. But you know, Zacchaeus is a very smart guy. And so Zacchaeus goes in front of the crowd because he kind of knows that this crowd's going to go that direction. And there he sees a sycamore tree. Now, I know many of you aren't gardeners and you know agriculture, arborists, and you know nothing about trees. Let me just give you a picture of what a sycamore tree looks like. A sycamore tree has very short trunks. A very short man was going up on a very short tree. So, very short trunks. It's short enough in which my kids up. And so here it is, Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree to get a glimpse of the tree. Who is this man, Zacchaeus? Besides that he was a short little man, there's another description of most of us would think, what's the big deal? He's a tax collector, so he works for the IRS. Right? What's the big deal? Well, just letting you know, to be a tax collector in Jesus' time is not to be a tax collector like our time. Right? They don't just all of a sudden fill out your tax returns and says, this is how much money you owe the government. Because the tax system in the Roman time is very different than the one that we are. Whenever the Roman Empire conquers a land, they basically says, this is how much your land owes us. Right? This is how much each one of you owes us. This is a tax that you have to pay. Now the Roman Empire, they don't have time to collect taxes. And so they was 1099 contract workers. Right? Right? They was 1099 contract workers to collect taxes. And you would think, well, yeah, that's not a big deal. But here it is. This is the scheme. When the Roman Empire says, okay, I need you to collect this amount of tax, put up a bid. Right? They say, okay, who's going to be able to, and people will make promise. Oh, only $1,000 per person? I guarantee you $2,000 per person that I can collect that tax. And the Roman Empire, of course, the highest bidder, we're going to choose you. And here it is, Zacchaeus was called what? The chief tax collector. So Zacchaeus got a little pyramid scheme going on here. Right? Because you know how tax collectors get wealthy? They say, well, you owe the Roman Empire $2,000. I'm going to say today your tax is $4,000. Okay? Why not? So this is Zacchaeus. Right? We're already beginning to figure out what type of person Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. And to be a tax collector, that's a little rough, don't you? Right? A tax collector isn't an IRS person who sits with their briefcase. In the Roman Empire, a tax collector was most likely a gangster. Rough, rugged, they'll beat you up, rip out your throat, right, just to make sure you pay. So Zacchaeus already is a rough and tough guy. So here it is, we got this short little guy who's like a pit bull. Right? He is tough, rugged, we already begin to see this Zacchaeus. Here's the thing. Zacchaeus was hated by the people. You want to know why Zacchaeus was hated? Because all tax collectors were corrupt. They hated him. Not only were they corrupt, they looked at tax collectors as traitors. Because the Jewish people hated the fact that they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And they saw anyone who collaborated with the Roman Empire as traitors. And so you could already see that when people saw Zacchaeus, they were afraid of him. Not only were they afraid of him, they avoided him because he was unclean. And so for all of his life, Zacchaeus was a person probably who was rejected. Now, we're told in Scripture that he was a short little man. And those of you who are teenagers, you know, when people make fun of your height, right? Get bullied, you look down, you make fun. You can already see that Zacchaeus, whatever it was, he has already had this deep understanding of rejection. Nobody wanted him. People were afraid of him. Nobody wanted to be in a relationship with him. Nobody really wanted to be his friend. Were afraid of him. You can say Zacchaeus was probably like part Bernie Madoff, part John Gotti. Right? You already can tell what type of personality that Zacchaeus is. And here it is, we see Zacchaeus, he climbs the sycamore tree, this tough and rugged guy who is probably the godfather, the bosses of all bosses in Jericho, and he climbs up a sycamore tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. And you would think that Jesus would probably ignore him. But as Jesus was passing by, we're told by the passage that Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Or come to me. Says to a man that everybody hates, and nobody likes, and nobody wants to associate with. And Jesus says, come to me. By Jesus saying, come to me, what Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, I welcome you. Everyone that you have ever known doesn't like you, rejected you, doesn't want anything to do with you, but I welcome you. That this is the Jesus that Zacchaeus encounters. A Jesus that welcomes. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a man that nobody wanted to be associated with. This was a person. And yet Jesus stops and he sees Zacchaeus on the sycamore tree and he says, Zacchaeus, I welcome you. I'm not going to reject you, but I welcome you. And then Jesus has to go and say another thing. What did he say? He says, I must stay at your house. We don't think much of that. We just, Jesus, Father, Mr. Blue, that may be great. You know, No, that wasn't what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, in everyone, he says, I must go to your house. Oh, nobody wanted to associate with Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, I must go to your house. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, I want to be in relationship with you. Because you don't just eat with anyone, right? So when you eat, you say, we no longer enemies, but we are. And so, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, Jesus welcomes us, and he wants to have a he invites us into this relationship. But you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be. But he welcomes us, and he wants us to be in relationship with him. Doesn't matter if you're broken. Doesn't matter if you're unwanted. Doesn't matter if you're sinful. Doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're brown, you're yellow. Jesus welcomes us and invites us into this relationship with him. Where Zacchaeus, a man who has been rejected, unwanted all of his life, those are such powerful words that set Zacchaeus free. Because you know what happens when Jesus is at his house eating? Zacchaeus, in his encounter with Jesus, was so moved that he got up and he says, Lord, I'm going to give away 50% of my wealth to all those who are poor.
Did I tell you Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man?
And he says, I'm going to give away 50%, half of my wealth, to those who are poor. And then he gets up as well and he says, and then I will give pay back four times the amount of anyone I've cheated. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Did you know to be a chief tax collector, your job is to cheat? So when Zacchaeus says, let me pay, I will pay back four times of anyone I have cheated. Zacchaeus basically says, I will pay back four times of everyone I have cheated. That's everyone. Okay? Because how do you think he made his money? So Zacchaeus, in his encounter with Jesus, that he was willing to go bankrupt because he encountered Jesus and something profound took place in his life. That when Zacchaeus was invited by Jesus to be welcomed by Jesus and to be invited to a relationship with Jesus, and as he has this relationship with Jesus, that means for you and I that Jesus has invited you and I, he's welcomed us into a relationship with him, and we have a relationship with him. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, if you and I have been welcomed by Jesus, we have a relationship with Jesus, because what Zacchaeus discovers about Jesus is that Jesus welcomes you where you are at. Jesus welcomes you where you're at. If you are angry at God, Jesus welcomes you. If you're still struggling in your sin, Jesus welcomes you. If you're still going through your brokenness, Jesus welcomes you. Even if you believe that you're the worst sinner and the worst person in the world, Jesus welcomes you. He welcomes you into a relationship, and he is determined to lead you to never be the same. This is what we see from Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus about who Jesus is. That Jesus is always on the pursuit of people. He welcomes us. He invites us. That basically means is that when we have a relationship with God, regardless of whatever struggles you have, regardless of whatever sins you have, regardless of whatever fears you have, Jesus is determined to not leave you in that. Now, most of us, when we forget about this is the Jesus that we know, most of us forget that this, that Jesus often welcomes people and invites people in relationship through people, Christians. Whenever I ask this question, people will often say, well, you know, I had a friend who knew a friend, somebody, and they invited me to church, and I got to know somebody, and that's how I met Jesus. The only way who feel unwanted, unloved, unseen, or broken, who are struggling with their sins, know that Jesus welcomes them and invites them into the relationship. But most of the time, we invite people not into our life, in relationship, we invite them to church. We say, welcome you to church. And when we do that, what we're just basically telling is, like, you know, I'm going to let the pastors and the leaders of the church take care of the rest, and, you know, the person will be fine. When you and I have encountered Jesus, who has welcomed us, invited us into the relationship, and we're radically changed, the Jesus that you and I believe in, the Jesus that Zacchaeus encounters, and the Jesus that you and I have encountered, is one who pursues after us, that welcomes us where we are. Many of you know my story. You know that before I knew Christ, I wasn't a Christian. Before I knew Christ, I was a high school dropout. I was part of a gang. And my life was pretty messed up. I went to church, not for Jesus. I went to church for a girl. Don't laugh. Some of you did the same thing. I'm the one that just spoke the truth. I went to church for a girl. I didn't know that actually God was. I went to church for a girl, and I went to all these church things, and you know, back in the days when I was a Christian, that you know, there was a revival circuit that was going on, and outreach sermon, you know, evangelistic meetings. But some of the older people, you know what I'm talking about. They had these evangelistic meetings that the churches would host, and they'll just have this guest speaker, someone who's popular, whatever, and he's supposed to preach and share the gospel, and then every time after he preaches and shares the gospel, towards the end you know what's gonna happen. And so I've been invited to multiple outreaches because, you know, my friends wanted me to accept Jesus, and then multiple outreaches, and then so towards the end of every sermon, say something like, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to be in a relationship. You believe that you're a sinner. And if you want to accept Jesus today, raise your hand. So here I'm, I got my eyes closed. And then all of a sudden he says, raise your hand. And I'm feeling tugging my heart. I said, no, I don't want to get up. And then he says, oh, I saw your hand. And here I'm going in my mind, is this real? Are people really accepting him? Like, there's no tomorrow? Like, everybody's going up? And I'm saying to myself, I'm feeling this tug in my heart. Regardless of how much I resisted, Jesus continued to pursue after me and welcome. And then finally, the night that I gave my life to Jesus was at 3 a.m. in the morning. I couldn't sleep the whole week, and I've been wrestling. And then at that moment, at that moment, I opened up my heart. Did I sense that Jesus welcomed me? And he invited me into this relationship. And as he invited me into this relationship, I was profoundly moved with deep emotion. And at that moment, I knew that my life. God is radically. I've been a Christian almost 30 years now. And my life has radically changed. If you knew me as a 19-year-old, you would not think that you were that person. But Jesus welcomed me. Jesus invited me into this relationship. Discovered that he was welcome. And that kiss of all people were shocked that Jesus was welcoming the chief tax collector. Not only did Jesus welcome him, Jesus was inviting Zacchaeus into relationship. And as Zacchaeus entered this relationship into Jesus, history tells us Zacchaeus' life change continued. We're told by history that Zacchaeus became the first bishop of Caesarea. That Zacchaeus, this wee little man, was a gangster, was so radically changed that later on, Zacchaeus had a relationship with Jesus. Jesus was determined to run with him. This is the Jesus that we are. Jesus has welcomed you. He has welcomed me. He has invited us into this relationship with him. So whatever struggles you're going through, maybe your marriage is on the rocks, maybe you don't know what your career is going to look like, maybe you're just confused, he struggled with all these different things. When you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus is our God. The only thing that you and I thank you.
going to do